So Adam Macha made me feel really bad because I was going to read prose. And then he said, what are you going to do when it's a poetry reading? And I said, well, so I'm going to read like a little poems and little prose, like kind of a mix, that sort of thing. And I also want to dedicate the first poem, it's a poem, to Adam. Let me just get it here. And but I also want to tell you a story that happened in my car today. I'm the mother of a 13-year-old boy. Those of you who are parents of 13-year-old boys, I need to not explain anything else. But he tells me a lot of things that I shouldn't know, because that's how kids are now. They tell you a lot. You know, back when I was a kid, we didn't tell our parents anything. But my son, we're in the car today, and he said, yeah, you know the Adult Mart in Monroeville? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, we like to prank call there. And I said, all right. And he said, when we call, we order a pizza with mustard. And I said, all right. And he said, and then we say, because we're into the really weird shit. So, security tip. Vibrators look suspicious during a luggage scan. If caught with one, you'll have to demonstrate to a grim security guard that it does, in fact, vibrate. Footage of you doing this will end up on YouTube. Adam used to sell vibrators for a living. Okay. So I used to be a flight attendant, and people ask me all the time, what are the weirdest things that happen on the airplane? And a lot of you guys will fly this summer, and you'll be very nice people, and you'll think everything is absolutely fine. But you don't turn around and see all the crazy people behind you. So I recommend that you turn around and watch what's happening back there, because it's interesting. So this is a prose piece called I Felt Like Licking Might Happen a Lot. I worked as a flight attendant for 7 years, probably 5,460 flights. I've said hey and goodbye, Coke and Diet Coke, and tray table up please to about 546,000 people. 546,000 people is more than the entire population of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa is famous for the Golden Driller, the biggest freestanding statue in the world. Though the driller is more yellow mustard than golden, he's ripped and cocky and has a massive belt buckle that says, Tulsa. He has his own oil derrick to lean on. Tourists stand under the statue and get pictures of themselves staring up at his impressive golden crotch. I flew from 1994 until 2001. The weirdest in-flight story was the one about an investment banker from my home base, New York City. On a flight from Buenos Aires to JFK, the banker got drunk. Flight attendants cut him off. The banker got angry. He helped himself to the liquor cart, stumbled to first class, climbed on a service cart, dropped his pants, and in front of everyone, took a shit. Then he stepped in his shit and tracked it through the cabin. No flight attendant I've known has ever questioned this story, even before it made international news, even before the banker had to cough up a $5,000 fine and 300 hours of community service and reimburse over $50,000 to the other passengers who had paid good airfare to watch him shit on a service cart. What every flight attendant wanted to know was this: if the guy was so drunk, how did he get up on the cart? And how did he hold his balance once he was up there? One time, professional wrestler Jake the Snake handed me his bag, then told me his pet python was inside. I saw him in a movie once, and all he wanted to do was cocaine. Another guy zipped a chihuahua into his jacket pocket, then put the jacket on the screening belt when he went through security. Two TSA agents saw the tiny skeleton and called security, who escorted the guy and the dog off the plane. During a beverage service, a fat guy in suspenders snuck up and licked me. He nailed my neck behind my right ear in the little gap between my regulation scarf and my hairline. I will always be traumatized by this. He wasn't wearing shoes. He had on red socks. People who take their shoes off on airplanes are terrible people. Shoeless people who lick flight attendants are worse. All I could think to say was, "You step back now." I wiped the wet spot with my scarf and kept pouring drinks. I didn't report it. It was embarrassing, and I was pretty new. I felt like licking might happen a lot. It didn't. Passengers bicker and slap each other over armrests. They fistfight for overhead space. They tell on each other for cell phones and tray tables and seat belts that need buckling. They want upgrades. They want free round-trip tickets, free drinks, one of those turkeys the airline used to give out at Thanksgiving. A Furby malfunctioned, and Smack talked Furbish from inside a little girl's backpack. The mother was embarrassed, exhausted. She mouthed, "Sorry, sorry," to all the other passengers, who scowled as she took the Furby out of the backpack and tried to get it to stop. She couldn't get it to stop. She needed a screwdriver to pop the batteries. Screwdrivers are weapons and not allowed on board. A woman huffed and slammed her head into her seat back. A man hit his call button. I took the Furby and wrapped it in a blanket. I stuffed it into the overhead where it was muffled to a nub. People complained. They said they could still hear it. It was giving them headaches. It was making them crazy. "I did not pay good money to listen to this garbage," the seatback woman said. She wanted a free ticket. She wanted free drinks. I brought her drinks. Then I brought drinks to everyone, including a bottle of champagne for the little girl's mother, who looked like she could use a drink most of all. It is not okay to poke a flight attendant in the ass, like the ass is a doorbell that might be broken. It's not appropriate to do this, even if you want to know what time it is in Iceland. The first time I saw passengers try to have sex, it was a low-key thing. The back row and coach, not too crowded. The girl was giving the guy head. She was kneeling between the seats, buried in his lap. "Excuse me," I said, "can I get you both something to drink?" Nothing. "Would you like a snack?" I said. I went back to the galley. Della, a senior flight attendant, was there. I asked her what I should do. "Oh, Cinderella," she said. Della called all junior flight attendants Cinderella. "You have to learn." Della walked over to the couple, threw a blanket over them, and let them be. "My dear," Della said, adjusting her scarf, "some things we don't get paid to do." On a flight from New York to Boston, a group of kids were headed for tennis camp. The overheads were loaded with rackets, and the kids all looked like they popped from a J. Crew catalog. On descent, something went wrong with our hydraulics, which control the flaps, which steer the plane and help it slow down on landing. The captain, blonde and blow-dried, all starch and chisel, popped from the same J.Crew catalog as the kids, briefed the flight attendants. We prepared for an emergency landing. The flight attendant I was working with was the meanest person I've ever met. She was all muscle and bitch. Everything about her was short, her hair, her temper. "Fuck these people," she'd said before boarding, like she planned for everyone to have the shitty day it turned out to be. When I looked at her, I saw a desiccated chicken wing. I thought, I will not die next to a chicken wing. Still, Chicken Wing and I showed people how to brace. We pointed out exits, explained what would happen if we had a hard landing, which is what we said instead of crash. The people in the emergency exits froze. A woman started talking loudly about her cat Sniggles. Half the kids started throwing up. The other half kept chanting, "We're gonna crash in the ocean, we're gonna crash in the ocean." We didn't crash in the ocean. In Boston, they gave us a long runway and foamed it down. There were fire trucks, ambulances. The plane made it to a full stop, and the captain came over the PA to let everyone know things were okay. The woman with the cat started crying. The emergency exit row people defrosted. The kids who were throwing up stopped. The kids who were chanting were disappointed. They made a new chant. It went, "Ah." I don't know why anyone would want to have sex on an airplane. It's cramped. The seats are uncomfortable. The lavs are disgusting. At any minute, oxygen masks can fall from the ceiling. Everything is inexplicably sticky on airplanes. Maybe because people keep insisting on having sex in the sky. Maybe because it makes them feel like they can go on breathing. Thank you. Thanks. And this is, I'm going to finish with a poem. And it's a longish poem. But Della, who shows up in that prose piece, who calls everybody Cinderella, is the center of this poem. So, and I have a friend, this is just sort of like an aside, and she writes young adult novels. Her pen name is Allison Noel, so if you read young adult novels, read her. She's great. But we used to fly together, and we both would like pretend, you know, that we didn't know we were writers because it was kind of a weird thing to be. But she called me after my first book came out, and she said, "I wrote about her too," and we compared like what we called this woman. Della is not her real name. Her real name is Amy Bratt. Does anyone know her? Isn't that a great name? We can't use it. So anyway, she's Della, but this is her. And this is a poem called "The Millhunk's Daughter Meets the Queen of Sky." "Scheduling's gonna hear about this," Della says. Della's blonde updo is melting, a butterscotch sundae. She drags her flight bag like a mother drags a whiny child. Her pink lipstick is smeared on her teeth. "I've stayed in worse," I say. "Motel 6, sleep-in, Cleveland." Della says, "Of course you have." Della remembers Pan Am, pillbox hats, white gloves. Pilots used to carry her bags. "Elegant," she says. The word bounces like champagne against the hard roof of her mouth. "We used to carve prime rib in the aisle," she says. Think of it, a slab of bloody meat, a large battery-operated knife. Della, her pink glazed teeth surrounded by passengers who think she's a star. The airline usually does better. The last hotel I stayed in had heated floors in the bathroom, monogrammed robes, and a balcony view of the Acropolis. The Days Inn in Little Rock doesn't have room service. "Waffle House is next door," the nice concierge says. "But it's closed," she says. "Christmas." She squinches her face like she's about to be hit. The concierge looks 12. She's pale and thin. Her arms are maps. "I'm on this trip because my friend Carla is getting her bunions done. She'll be out for weeks. In the lobby, there's a white tinseled tree and a menorah with two lights blown out. There was a cheese plate and a meat tray upstairs in the crew lounge, but United got to it first." "It used to be flying was for the elite," Della says, and waves her hands like wings. "Now everyone can fly the bus." When it's time to pick up trash, Della hides in the lav. When it's time to stock ice, she visits the cockpit. "You want to be garbage girl, go ahead," she tells me. "But someone has to do this." "Just wait," Della says. "It gets better. Right now, I'm junior, no seniority. Every month, I wear out the right knee of my uniform, kneeling at the beverage cart. Della buys her groceries in Paris and Madrid. She promises if we fly international together, she'll teach me how to shop and do my hair so I don't look so provincial, so I look like more like what I am, which, according to Della, is an independent woman of the world. When we work the beverage cart together, Della calls me Cinderella, a name like a slap. Later, I wipe down the galley with hot towels. The counter gleams like a dance floor. When Della comes home from a trip, she slathers herself with Nutella, then lets her dog lick it off. "Treatsies," Della calls this. "Kissies." Imagine Della spread out in a hallway, dollops of hazelnut on her clit, her loppy breasts a buffet. The dog won't touch peanut butter anymore. Della says her dog has taste better than her first husband, better than her second. Humans are overrated, Della says, and fakes a British accent. On this layover, Della's locked in her room with a bag full of minis she's stolen from first class. Dwarf bottles of Bailey's and Kentucky whiskey with red wax drizzled over the caps. She has her romance novel, her herbal sleep mask. X-Files reruns are on. I love the X-Files, but I can't help it. I'm lonely. Of course you are, Della would say, and click her tongue against her teeth like a deadbolt. In my room, I check under the bed, then I call home. My mother doesn't have time to talk. Company, she says, and I can hear the clink of glasses, silverware on china, my aunts giggling. When I hang up, I check under the bed again, then behind the blackout drapes. On the X-Files, Mulder knows the truth is out there, an alien who morphs into landscapes, melts into walls, into trees, becomes a desk, a chair, a window, a cutting board to make a sandwich on, becomes transparent, invisible, wooden, pliable, solid, liquid, moves through and beyond time, always there and not there. I hang my uniform in the closet. It's blue. The room isn't really that bad. The mattress sags, but only on one side. The sheets are clean, and I haven't seen any bugs. Why did you choose to come here? Mulder wants to know. The alien is confused. He doesn't understand the word choose. Rerouted, the word the airline uses for when we expect one place and land in another. I was 18 at the Cloverleaf Motel, and the boy who loved me brought a roll of quarters for the Magic Fingers massage. He brought rose petals and a boombox. My favorite song was Billy Joel's Vienna. I wanted a bigger life, but the boy I loved propped Ria Needy in the ice bucket and carried me into the room like a bride. The room was by the hour. We sat there, the mattress sagged, we drank, we leaned in, and the wine was so sweet it closed my throat. We were virgins. The room was by the hour. When it was over, he cried. I locked myself in the bathroom while he scrubbed the sheets. The sheets at the Days Inn smell like bleach. The sheets at the Cloverleaf smelled like bleach and cigarettes. He gave me a ring that Christmas. I gave it back. Now I collect postcards. I keep them in shoeboxes under a bunk bed. I live in New York. The world is beautiful. Sometimes I think he must wonder where I am, and then I think, no, probably not. Della says most people are victims of gravity. Imagine, she says, living your life always on the ground. In my motel room, I practice rolling my hair into a French twist like Della's. A few rooms over, Della's on the phone to scheduling, threatening a union. Unacceptable, she says. I took the complimentary postcard out of the desk. The postcard looks like it's been there a long time. The Hotel Bristol in Vienna has a view of the opera house. The piano player is an old man, bald, tuxedoed. His piano bench is stuffed with zany hats, Martian antennae on springs, some light-up devil horns, a pair of bunny ears. His name is Gustav. He calls me Bella. I drink wine from a crystal glass while Gustav takes requests from pilots. American music, yes, yes, he says. A little Elton, some Billy Joel. Who loves the piano man, Gustav asks, and cocks a hand to his bunny ears. Billy Joel made the news when he got drunk on cough syrup and smashed his Volkswagen into a mailbox. He was spotted the next day out drinking alone. You'd think someone like Billy Joel would have someone to drink with, a fan told reporters. I drink wine from Venetian crystal and raise my glass in a toast. On with the show, Gustav says, if that's what you want.